Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson, your host this morning. And we are in the study of oneness. Oh, my goodness. We're in chapter 30. Hey, Dr. Reggie, how are you?
Sitting here reeling and loving the meditation last night. Oh. And all the people that showed up, even our new people and new guests, I thought it was fantastic. I loved it. We get new people. It's kind of exciting.
I know. It was totally awesome. You know how you feel after you've had a party in your home? You had guests in your home, and it was a party. That's what it felt like. I know. We had a party last night. It was wonderful. The food was great. It was just wonderful. So,
it was.
We're into chapter 30. Can you believe we're that far in this book, Dr. Reggie?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you would. You would say.
I can. I would be the one to believe it, but I do. I think it's great.
I know. It is totally awesome. So can you go ahead and take us into our morning prayer so that we can go
it's
ahead
powerful.
And... It's powerful. It is powerful. That's very true.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for who we are. And who we are is not a small matter. It is magnanimous. It is profound. It is unique, and it is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be individuated right here on the planet Earth, in the physical realm, in this dimension, to live, to love, to grow, and to learn. And above all our learning, getting understanding. Let us understand as humans with feelings and emotions to reach out to others and spread that love and that joy of why we're here, that we celebrate life itself as a living entity, and that we breathe and move and have our constructive being in the Holy Spirit. How lucky we are to actually be born through the mother vehicle and guarded by you all the way on that trip to be here and to live and love and show people as ambassadors for the living Christ energy who we are. Let us grow in our individuation and in the evolution process, specially designed by you, that we are now moving into ascension with the Christ energy. We are so grateful. Let us open up our hearts and minds right here, and may the Holy Spirit give us guidance this morning and utterance and a profound energy of power blanketing us with that holy energy. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Oh, my goodness. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Reggie. I love your prayers. I just love your prayers, Dr. Reggie.
Thank you.
Okay, so, I'm going to roll back a little bit in this chapter of what text that we covered yesterday, because I want us to kind of really sense where oneness is going with this lesson. And chapter 30 is focusing on the significance of a health crisis. As we are going through the ascension process. So, you know, every experience that we have, first of all, number one, we must acknowledge that we created it. Every experience that we have, We must acknowledge that we have created it. That's number one. Number two, that challenge, that experience is placed in our life so that we can learn a lesson, so that we can be victors and not victims. It allows us to grow in our faith, in our understanding, in of our divinity in God. So, and so it is with the health crisis. We have created it to experience it, to grow. So let's roll back in this text and find out what it is that we're supposed to learn from this and how we can shift the way we experience a health crisis. You will begin to see the so-called symptoms of a physical condition that you have been harboring as the manifestation of the thought form that precipitated it. So they're telling you that a thought came before the symptom of a physical problem. And that goes with, along with our understanding of how we manifest into form. And that level of spontaneous realization will serve as the gateway through which you will be able to liberate yourself from a multifaceted vibrational condition. So understanding that thought precedes the symptom will help you to realize that you have a gateway that will allow you to break away, to change that thought, to shift the energy. It's a signal to you. The symptom is a signal. Check your thoughts. The outward manifestation of a particular set of symptoms is your cue to delve into your own psyche and to begin to explore the parameters with which you have structured your life experience. That's a lot to say, but they're saying check your thoughts. And notice what they say, that you can explore the parameters with which you have structured your life experience. It's like, and this, when I was reading this material this morning, I said, you know, I do some programming and in computers. And you have to tell, when you're writing a program, you write every scenario. When the user does this, then you do this. If the user doesn't do this or this, then do this. In other words, what they're saying is, if the user responds, let's say for instance, responds yes, then I need you to do blah, blah, blah. Show them another screen, whatever I want to do. If they respond no, then I need you to do such and such and such and such. And here's the thing. If they don't do either one of those things, I have to assume that the user makes a mistake and there's an error. Then what do I want you to do? Then I want you to cancel out the whole thing. You have to program all potential scenarios when you're writing a software program. So we go up and we just click, and yes, no, screw up. We click, try to type something, and it's saying no. The programmer has to anticipate everything. That's what you are. You are the programmer of your life. And when you laid out the foundations for the experiences you want to have in this lifetime, you had to calculate, build in all possible scenarios. And so that's why they're saying you need to take the time to analyze how you have structured your life experience, how you have programmed your life experience. Your beliefs are the building blocks with which you have constructed the vibrational grid system you would know as your reality. As your Land Rover went out and gathered information in this physical plane because, you know, in the environment, you're gathering information, you know, you go through an experience, somebody yells at you, you know what that feels like and how hurt you feel. That's information that you're storing in your database, okay? Those are the building blocks. Those experiences build your beliefs. And I know you guys, I may be talking to you like you're sixth graders, and I don't mean to insult anyone, but our beliefs are so important, and I think it's important for us to analyze how we create our beliefs, because our beliefs fit into how we what we attract into our experience. So if you got a if you have a health crisis, you have to analyze all of this. Now, for me, I love that because I'm a Virgo. I like to analyze everything. But for a lot of people, they don't want to do that. They don't have the patience for it. But it's something that you need to do in order to grow. And so I encourage you to practice. Within the confines of that structure, you have systematically crafted the conditions that would represent, understand this, represent energetically the unique set of presumptions and preferences that characterize your state of beingness. Look how detailed you are in creating your experiences. And those experiences are being created by your beliefs. So let's get an example here down about this. All right. You're a little kid, and you stick your hand in the fire, and your mom's, well, let's say this. You're a little kid, and you're doing something you have no business doing that your mother has said over to you, no, no, no. And finally, she's tired of saying no to you, and she smacks your hand, and your feelings get hurt. That experience gets stored. And if you continue to do things that your mother tells you not to do, and she continues to give you a little smack on your hand, eventually you say, I don't want to feel bad. I don't want the pain of getting smacked. Maybe I need to, if she's told me not to do it, I need not to do it again. So, but you know what? You still go and do it again. But this time when you're going to do it, you're thinking, well, the last time I did something she told me not to do, I got in trouble. But I'm going to do this anyway. You're pushing the envelope. And then you go and do it and you get in trouble again. And eventually you get, maybe if she tells me no, I probably should not do it. But and that's how your belief is developed. And it's interesting because most of the time, we hold on to the experiences that were negative, that don't bring us very much joy. And we play those tapes over and over and over again. But that is a choice. Okay? So your life experiences serve to reinforce or to restructure that energetic blueprint. Because now what they're saying is the multiple times that you did what your mom told you not to do and you did it anyway and then you record how it feels to kind of get punished because of that and you hold on to that energetic, that feeling is ultimately an energy. That feeling of, it doesn't feel good when I do what my mother tells me not to do, that is converted into an energy. The feeling, it converts into an energy. Or in the correct way to say that is that the feeling is an energetic signature. And it becomes a blueprint. And as you go through life, having all these various experiences, people may have praised you for something. You may have excelled in one thing. And all of the feelings and emotions that you have as you go through these experiences become an energetic grid. They become an energetic grid. So the stability of the entire vibrational construction rests upon the firmness of its foundation. And that fundamental essence serves to determine whether layers of life experience reinforce the equilibrium of the structure as a whole or begin to undermine its vibrational balance. Okay, hold on. Let's break this one down. So we have this grid, right? This grid is containing all of the energetic signatures of every experience that we have had in life. But they're saying that that bridge has to be built on a sound foundation. And when the moment that that foundation is weak, then we have the manifestation of a problem. The equilibrium of that grid gets wobbly. And the balance is off. Now, what causes that balance to be off? When a so-called symptom surfaces in your physical reality, be they in the form of a life experience or a physical health condition, know that the key to the underlying cause may well lie in the very core of your energetic structure. In the very core of your grid, your energetic grid. Okay? So be prepared. It's like a virus. You know, we all work on computers, and our computer is running fine. And then we go to some website, and it plugs something into our system, and it gets really slow, and you can't do this. Sometimes it just shuts your system completely down, and you cannot log on to it, into it anymore. That energetic, that code has been infiltrated with a virus. The equilibrium is off. When something happens to you, and especially in reference to a physical condition, the equilibrium is off. There's a virus somewhere in your consciousness. That's where we need to begin to root. That's what they're saying. And it's gnawing away at your whole energetic grid, which is the structure within your, in which you have your beingness in this physical form. Okay? So they say, be prepared to dig well beneath the surface of your awareness for the core elements that have surfaced as symptoms that suddenly have captured your attention. This, too, is as you designed your experience to be. For a fundamental part of your awakening process is to see very clearly the constructs with which you have built your sense of perception. A condition that cannot be ignored is the perfect opportunity to explore your own core essence and to confront what lies dormant, waiting patiently for this moment in your evolution. So when they're talking about a construct, they're talking about that energetic grid. They're talking about your software program that you've programmed, that you have developed, which is your life experience. And so when a symptom appears and you have to, they're saying be prepared to go deep within yourself beyond just your conscious awareness right now of what's around you. You need to go inside. And what's inside? The kingdom of heaven. We need to go inside the kingdom of heaven and find out what we were thinking and clean it up. A mindset that harbors any form of limitation whatsoever, regardless of whether your experience has led you to believe it is justified, is a catalyst for the disharmony that can manifest in disease. Whoa. listen at that. If you believe in limitation in any form, on any level, you're going to create disharmony in your grid, in your energetic grid, and that's what's throwing the balance off and messes with the equilibrium and causes you to have a symptom, either a physical disharmony or a life experience disharmony. So the opportunity afforded you now is to consider whether certain presumptions based upon your disappointments, your grievances, or injuries, or any other manifestations of the inhibition of expression of personal will have relevance under conditions of limitlessness. So they're saying, I need you, this is an example, let's go back to the time when mom said no and she hit your hand and you felt shame. If you live in a world of limitlessness, are you justified in feeling shame? Okay? Are you justified in feeling anger? Does it make sense now that you are aware that there are no limitations on your life? Does that make sense anymore? To believe that, does it make sense anymore? And when you come to that truth and understanding in you, that will set you free. So you can argue convincingly within the parameters of your consciousness that certain consistent bodies of experience serve to reinforce certain levels of limited self-perception. You can continue to deceive yourself of the truth. You have that choice. God gives you that free will. But if you take the time to go look at a closer inspection, to have a closer inspection, it becomes clear that those bodies of experience, that life of experience, that were amassed under a vastly different vibrational condition than the ones that in which you now find yourself, and indeed the ones towards which you ascend, it doesn't work anymore. And with that realization, you are able to transcend the patterns of stuckness that have characterized an entire lifetime and to release the fundamental misconceptions that spurred those experiences into manifestation vibrationally. You're not a child anymore. And you have moved into the awareness of your divinity and of your connection to oneness, and that there are no limitations in your life and there is no reason to fear anything. But understand, you can't take all those experiences that you had when you were under a different lesson, under a different illusion in which you formed those beliefs, and you got to clear them out now. Your beliefs have to be a vibrational match to the reality that there is no limitation. There is nothing to fear. There is only love. You may well have experienced victimization, for example, as part of your body of life experience in any of an infinite number of avenues of that expression, and yet that does not justify the maintenance of a mindset that would identify one to oneself as a victim. Because your own unwillingness to engage in dramas characterized by such interactions sets the stage for a shift in the energies that would have precipitated them. It doesn't fit anymore. You know who you really are. You know you're not a victim. So you don't even put yourself in those situations anymore. But there could be something buried deep within that you are maybe not even aware or consciously aware of, where you are still holding just an inkling of that victim consciousness. In order to release the structural building blocks for that consciousness of a victim, it is necessary to identify the core beliefs within your own energetic blueprint that would support such conditions. And turning back the pages and the volumes of life history that you have amassed, it serves to illustrate the rich body of experience you have collected to support what may be a grossly misguided presence. Or misguided premise, excuse me. So in scrutinizing these patterns, it is fascinating to recognize the very earliest instances that seeded repeat occurrences throughout your lifetime. Isn't that amazing? You know, when I think about it, I am just so in awe of how God planned this universe. It's amazing. He was a master programmer in divine perfection. It is entirely possible that the catalyst for such initial experiences may be one that was carried forth from another incarnation or as an experience that is replicated energetically in lifetimes that parallel this one. Realities that continue to resonate disharmony that affects you in key areas of your life. It is not necessary to time travel or to attempt to intervene in other expressions of reality in order to adjust the effect those conditions may be exerting upon you vibrationally. Listen, all that is required is to become whole within one's own self and to reach a place of clarity as to what is a valid characteristic of your own essence and what is not. So they're saying it does, on some level they're saying it doesn't matter when this belief was developed. You don't have to travel back into other lifetimes and be put under deep hypnosis. You just need to make the realization of who you really are very alive within you. The fact is, here's the fact, there is no limitation whatsoever in the structure of your fundamental essence. And you can, in fact, be anything and choose to be, that you choose to be. There is no limitation whatsoever in the structure of your fundamental essence. And you can, in fact, be anything you choose to be. Now, I could just end this lesson right here. That just fed me for the rest of the day. So the key to transcending conditions in which you perceive the evidence of limitation is not to dwell upon the essence of that limitation, but rather to dwell utterly and completely in a perception of how you would like to have it be. So if you are in victim consciousness, they did this to me. They did this to me. My mom did this to me. And you sound like a little whining baby. And now it hurts. Oh, my mom did this. That's not what is a spiritual being. When you move into the awareness that you are a spiritual being and that there are no limitations to what you can be or do or have, limitlessness is your nature, your true nature, then how does that shift? It shifts into, I choose to experience this. I choose to be this. I choose to be victorious. I am victorious in everything that I do. I am victorious in everything that I set out to do. Shifts the energy, sets you free. Oh, can't you feel the momentum already building just by saying that and declaring it? Oh, take a deep breath right now and say it to yourself. I am victorious in everything that I set out to do. I'm ready to jump up and shout here. And so here's what oneness tells us. Regardless of the nature of the condition in question, were you to see yourself in circumstances devoid of that condition, you would have initiated the process that would lead energetically to that very reality. Are you faced with a health challenge right now? What are you going to do? Oh, you know, I got this diabetes, and I have to watch what I eat. What is that? Feeding the belief of what you eat. I'm not telling you not to take care of yourself, but if you want to shift out of having diabetes, you've got to go and look at these core beliefs inside of you. And if you are really going to be victorious, you'll choose to eat the right things, but you won't say, I have diabetes, and I can only eat this. You just say, you know, I choose to eat healthy because I am victorious. I don't need to declare that I have diabetes, okay? I won't acknowledge that. I choose to eat healthy to nourish my body so that I am victorious over the physical nature of my body, the healthiness of my body. I choose to do this. Big difference in acknowledging I got a limitation over here. It's called diabetes. And so I can't do this, and I can't do this, and I can't do this, and I can't do this. And you're stuck with diabetes because all you see is what you can't do. Were you to instead to dwell in a state, were you instead to dwell in a state of dread upon which you do not wish to be in a certain condition, you succeed in reinforcing the vibrational building blocks for the continuation of those circumstances. For in stating to yourself what your physical senses have shown you to be your reality, you serve to reinforce the energetic grid that magnetizes that category of experience. I just gave you the example with the diabetes. Because you keep looking at what the doctors are telling you, looking at this medication that you're taking, and dreading every moment of it. So you have just put yourself into a cycle of being right where you are. You want to transcend that. So your manifestation, therefore, might be a physical condition that persists despite every conceivable effort you can make in physical terms to get rid of it. But the fact is, the condition does not exist at all. Whoa. Oneness is saying it does not even exist. You merely have persisted in telling yourself that it does. Can you hear this? Are you hearing it? Because it's blowing me away. And the more mental and verbal reinforcement that you add to the equation, the stronger the foundation you have constructed to sustain it. Because by consciously transcending the physical evidence of a given condition and giving your mental energy instead of resolving the fundamental life issues that in all likelihood serve to precipitate it, you can make monumental strides toward surmounting the obstacles that challenge you. For it is you who has placed this physical hurdle in your path, and it is you alone who can determine whether you are able to navigate your way around the illusion of these obstacles in physical form. So these challenges, these health challenges in particular, they are clues. They have been placed in your path strategically like the tip of a proverbial iceberg. So you would be not be able to continue to ignore the experiential evidence, all of those things that happened to you as a kid, the experiential evidence that has been nudging you for a lifetime. These life-threatening physical manifestations that are a characteristic of the heightened levels of the transformation process are no more than a vibrational signal within your energy structure that your attention is requested, sir, right now, sir, at the deepest level. In thought. So consider how you choose to respond to these signals and recognize them for the gift that they truly are. For the illusion of illness or dis-ease with which you may be wrestling is not the issue at hand, but rather that condition is the symptom that is calculated to liberate you from the limitation of the density with which you have been staggering vibrationally. You will not be able to move forward at the rate of ascension at which you have begun to travel while maintaining those debilitating levels. And so the physical condition that has surfaced is there to herald a major shift within your entire realm of beingness. For once, this major hurdle has been transcended. You will begin to experience a new category of perception and to sustain that perspective as you focus on your reality. So, the catalyst for this shift may well be the recognition of the habitual emotional patterns that you have been bringing to closure, or the physical condition that resulted from them. It does not matter whether your attention is captured by the physical or the emotional manifestations of your vibrational state, for they are intertwined. And once the energy is allowed to be released at one level, the symptoms they supported will very likely dematerialize. For there would be nothing remaining energetically to hold them in form. It's like, you know, I've got a CD player and it makes a lot of noise sometimes. And so as long as it's plugged in, I could turn it off and it's still humming. I don't know. It's crazy. But I go and I pull the plug out and it stops all the humming. It's not getting humming. It's not getting any energy anymore. So it stops the humming. That's what they're saying. When you pull the plug on that thought of limitation that's buried somewhere deep in you, those fearful thoughts, when you pull the plug, the condition dematerializes. So the objective then is to address the question of where to direct your focus. As a being focused in self-perception, as a limited physical creature caught at the mercy of the circumstances of your physical environment, it was a logical reaction to respond to life's trials in a direct physical manner. But as the vibrational complexity of the environment in which these interactions played out has escalated, the effectiveness of physical solutions to physical challenges has diminished. The point is reached ultimately where it is obvious that life just isn't working anymore. And that's where we are right now. The earth has changed. The earth is moving. The earth is evolving. We live on this earth. We have to evolve with it now. And so we're getting more challenges. You know, what are they talking about? Diabetes is more prevalent now. What do you think could be the underlying cause of diabetes? And I'm not talking about the physical cause. I'm talking about in consciousness. Why do you think that is? I don't know. If you've got an answer, press 1. I don't have the answer. But if you have an answer, tell me why. Okay? So, where did I leave off? Oh, my goodness. The objective then is to address the question of where to direct your focus. All the tried and true methods of dealing with cause and effect in your physical reality don't produce the results that you were taught to expect, and you begin to feel powerless. Good morning, Forsagi. How are you? You begin to feel powerless. As you intensify your attempts to force a result with the mindset rooted in reflex reactions, that's the world that we were raised in. If you do this to me, I'm going to do this to you. If this happens to me, then I'll do this. It's always this strategy, right? They're saying that doesn't work anymore. And a lot of you are already aware that that doesn't work anymore. So eventually, the desperate sense of struggle surrenders to the realization of the utter futility of this approach. And you know, a lot of us reach that point when we have health challenges. No matter what I do, I'm still stuck with this condition. I can't change it anymore. I can't do anything else anymore. That means at this point you have to surrender. And that surrender is key in transformation, is it not? Yes, it is. So one begins to ask the big questions that herald the breakthrough in which all illusions shatter simultaneously. And in that moment, one experiences a clarity of understanding that defies understanding. For in the utter simplicity of that crystalline awareness, you know that at long last, you are free. You know that none of the issues and the worries with which you struggled over the course of an entire lifetime really matter at all. From your own ascended perspective, meaning when you became aware and you knew in the core of your being, with every cell of your body, that there is no limitation, that there is nothing to fear, that really what you're experiencing on some level is an illusion. It's not even real. From that perspective, none of what may once have seemed life-threatening holds any importance or interest. And you begin to view such vibrational hotspots as an invitation that you can instinctively decline. I choose not to participate in this. So one chooses not to jump in and engage in the full focus of one's consciousness, even for a passing moment in the conflict. You can't even jump in with the doctors. I can tell you this. My father was in a coma, and the doctors kept trying to tell me that they were painting the worst possible scenario of my father. And I had come to the realization and the belief that my father would be healed, and that's all I heard. And I was I felt like my belief was so powerful, I felt that I was in a bubble, and everything that they were saying just bounced off of me. If it didn't resonate with me in terms of him being healed, I was protected. I didn't absorb it at all. And that's where you need to be for your physical healing. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer. Boy, that time goes so fast. These lessons are so involved now. I wanted to finish this chapter. I'm really almost done. If you'd like to stay with me, I'll finish the chapter. And we can close out the week, but Dr. Reggie, we're going to run out of time. I'm sorry for those who are streaming, but it'll be in the archive. I'm going to finish up this lesson. So the need to appear vindicated or validated gives way to the need to sidestep such scenarios altogether and to relegate those invitations to exercise the self. Righteous needs of ego to another place in time. the corresponding freedom from the testing conditions of a life-threatening physical ailment heralds one's imminent approach to the interdimensional threshold. And as one flounders in the final moments of misery, of the illusion of separation, one reaches a moment of truth. And in that moment, one transcends the need to perpetuate the illusion and sees the physical symptoms that were so feared or detested or denied as evidence of one's impending freedom from all such forms of attachment to the illusion of those symptoms. And once you relinquish all sense of importance of this ultimate life issue, it no longer holds you vibrationally in its grasp. In essence, it ceases to manifest in your reality. So the health crisis that will be so prevalent as byproducts of the ascension process are the ultimate gateways to healing in the truest sense. Wow. If you have a physical challenge, it is the number one way to heal you in the true sense, which is to heal your belief system, to heal your perspective, to heal your consciousness. For the level of healing you would wish to attain as you rise to the fullness of your physical presence goes beyond a freedom from symptoms that may once have confounded you. True healing occurs when you have succeeded in releasing the underlying vibrational charge that you carried at certain levels of awareness for lifetimes, and in so doing, you attain a vantage point that transcends totally that kind of experience. You know, one of the things that they bring out in this chapter is sometimes when we're going through a physical challenge, a health challenge, we may actually be faced with our mortality. And they say the more that we cling to wanting to preserve this physical life that we have right now, and we put all these efforts into trying to preserve the physical life, that really and truthfully you're feeding the belief of being ill and dying. And they said that, but when you transcend preserving this physical life and the fear of it going and recognize that you are eternal and that there are no limitations, that's when you're moving into this. And you may choose to let go of this physical body, but you're letting go in peace. Or you may choose that I want to be in this physical body, and it doesn't matter. I can transcend this. But they're saying you can have the full healing. And I believe it is so. And so it is. So anyone that has a physical challenge right now, I am believing in your divine perfection. Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing prayer?
Thank you, God, for making us perfect.
Oh, hold on 1 second. I don't have you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Father, we thank you for our perfection on every level, and that as soon as we are aware of this perfection, we realize and we make real and we affirm and decree and declare and know that all is well. No matter what happens to us, that all is well. And wherever we are, you are. Whether we're in this dimension or the next, or in infinity, you are with us, and all is well. No matter what happens in the physical body, we're beyond just the physical. We are spirits living in a material world. And we thank you for the ability to have this experience. No matter what happens, we are and shall be always in you, with you, and working as you wherever we are. We know that you are too. We thank you for the energy of the Holy Spirit And we are shielded and protected always throughout eternity with this knowledge and with this love. We believe it is so. And because we do, so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Anthony, I clicked on Anthony's mic to turn him on. How are you, Anthony?
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm sorry I didn't see your question earlier. Did you have a comment?
I did it already, and I was concluding when you asked the question about the with diabetes started, and I was just thinking and wondering if Sweet Melody was on the line, because she has a book called Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life, and that book would definitely tell you the psychological mental cause of diabetes, as it does with all the diseases. It's a very powerful book. So that's what I had wanted to share.
Okay, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and end this call, end this broadcast. I appreciate and love each and every one of you. We'll be here next week, starting at 7:00 in the morning, Monday morning. I love you as God loves you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.